If you're planning on staking some money on your team winning the upcoming Super Bowl or even just tomorrow's game with the 49ers and Rams, you should know, first of all, that there is no such thing as a safe bet. Still, the business of sports gambling is roaring into full gear this time of the year, offering advertisers as well as pool winners a chance to rake in some huge profits. And for more, we're joined live on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Mark Edelman, law professor at Baruch College at the City University of New York. Professor, first of all, these office pools, and this is something we have to deal with, obviously, every year with a number of sports. Are they legal?
As a technical answer, no, they are not. They're contests that have entry fees and prizes, and the underlying activity is presumably one of chance, which as a technical matter makes it illegal gambling. Now, interestingly, a lot of states have in-home gambling exemptions that don't necessarily legalize these behaviors, but under certain circumstances will decriminalize them, and thus the risk is minimal if certain precautions are taken.
So are these bets or these Super Bowl square pools, are they considered private lotteries then?
Absolutely they are. I mean, the classic definition of a lottery is risking something of value on an activity of chance with the attempt to win a prize. So yes, that would be the proper way of defining them. Now, some states will have things that are known as in-home gaming exceptions. Meaning if the activities only take place with a limited number of people who are friends, the host doesn't keep any money from doing it, and there's nothing that crosses state lines, in many states this would be considered de minimis. But office pools that cross state lines and involve larger numbers of people very much would be subject, theoretically at least, to legal challenge.
But what is it, and I mean, maybe this sounds naive, but what is the difference between one of these office pools and an old-fashioned gentleman's bet?
As a technical matter, an old-fashioned gentleman's bet would lie on the wrong side as well. What we have decided is that many states say if these activities are only with a few people involved and that nobody is making money off the activity and it doesn't cross state lines, it's too small for a state to care about. But sometimes when we talk about something that we call an office pool, it will begin with 10 friends in the office, and next thing you know, there are a few thousand people that have joined, and money is crossing state lines, and the person that's hosting it might even be keeping a share of a revenue, and that's going to attract, theoretically, state or federal attention.
But, I mean, people spend almost $200 billion a year on these pools and sports gambling. I mean, has this just gotten to the point where there's no way you can realistically crack down on it?
Well, not in California, but in many states where we have now regulated and licensed sports gambling, I think there's going to be an even stronger incentive to crack down on these behaviors than we saw before. So if you take, for example, my home state of New York, there are now about half a dozen companies that pay money to have licenses to operate sports betting. My guess is a company like Caesars or BetMGM, which pays a large amount of money to be able to operate state legalized sports betting, is not going to take to it too fondly if someone who's not licensed to operate and not paying the fees begins infringing on what they think is their shared monopoly marketplace. So interestingly, I think if anything, the scrutiny is going to go up rather than go down with the movement towards legalized online sports betting.
Real quick, before we let you go, two questions. Does this apply for not only professional but college sports as well? And is it time, in your view, to get rid of these laws?
Yes, these laws would apply to college sports as well. In fact, in some areas, there may be even greater concern because the NCAA member schools continue to collude to prevent college athletes from being compensated for their work on the field. I think there might be a greater risk that certain athletes could be subject to corruption in other ways of making money. Is it time for the laws to change? Well, they already are changing. We've seen 20-plus states legalize sports gambling, but I'm not sure they're changing in the right way. What we're having happen is now large companies are getting shared monopolies over the sports gambling marketplace, but there hasn't been any leniency in terms of the small entrepreneur or the individual that wants to play that role. It seems to be reserved in a tax and license system for a handful of very large businesses.
All right, Professor, thank you for your time this morning. That is Mark Edelman, law professor at Baruch College at the City University of New York.